been away. Haven't changed, had much to say. But man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, how you was, where you...
Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, November 3rd, 2017. And the Green Bay Packers are back from their bye week, which means we are back from our bye week. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'm here, as always, with fellow beat reporter Tom Silverstein. Tom, we have to wake up at a normal hour this week. We have to be back at Lambeau Field. No more lounging on the couch. How was your bye week?
My bye week was excellent. Totally excellent. Had a great time. Relaxed. Did a little traveling, but I'm back and in the saddle.
Did you do some self-scouting? Did you learn about yourself at all during this
bye week? I did. I watched all the film of myself and in the live blog and reread every word I've written. No, I didn't. No, I didn't do squat. I wrote my one story, and that was due, and maybe one other. I don't remember, but that's it.
You know, I thought about walking across the hall for a across-the-hall meeting with my neighbor in my apartment building, but, you know, I decided against it. I completely unplugged, I refreshed, and here we are, ready to push through the second half of the season.
For all you know, it could be a serial killer, you know.
It very well
could
be.
Don't ever go knocking on your neighbor's door.
Right after trick-or-treating, we say this, right?
Oh.
Never knock on people's doors.
I miss trick-or-treating, I got to say. That really upset me. Nobody's brought in any candy either. So.
Yeah, no candy in my building. Mine's set up like a dorm room where there's just doors on each side of the hall, so it's not really conducive for trick-or-treating.
Right.
So some big news during the bye week came from Martellus Bennett's Instagram, because Instagram is now a thing that we have to pay attention to.
Not enough that we have Twitter.
Yeah, now we got to pay
Facebook.
Attention to Instagram and
now
Snapchat
Instagram.
And all kinds of stuff. And basically, Martellus Bennett said that after talking with his family, he thinks that this is probably going to be his last year in the NFL, and that was about it. And he still hasn't spoken to the media in 3 weeks or so, and now he's injured with a shoulder problem. So what do you make of the whole Martellus Bennett saga at this point?
Well, geez, from what I've seen, he retired in July. That's a little bit of a shot. I don't know what to think about that. I'm not going to overreact to it. It could just be an attention getter. He's kind of like that. I don't think it really matters. It was potentially a one-year deal anyways with Martellus Bennett. The Packers left themselves some room there with a roster bonus. So let him play out the year. And if he's heart isn't into it, then go with Kendricks and Rodgers. I think they have plenty to go with there. The one area where they can't replace is his run blocking. I went back and looked at a little bit of his effort against New Orleans, and you know, there's just some things he can do that other tight ends on this roster can't. And they would miss that. If they didn't play him as much, they would miss the run blocking. But from the passing game, I don't think he's helped much at all. I think Kendricks has been more of a weapon than Bennett.
No, I agree with you. And I don't really know what to make of it either, because he strikes me as the kind of guy that, given his other interests, whether it's, you know, all the designing that he does or the art or whatever he works on in his free time, that if he were to walk away randomly, he's the type of guy that it wouldn't surprise me if he one day just said, see you later. On the other side of things, I wondered if the injury to Aaron Rodgers played into this at all. You know, he came here to try and win a Super Bowl ring, and now he probably sees that the chances of doing that are either not there at all or significantly reduced, and if he says, well, the reason I came here is no longer possible, so you know, maybe this is it for me.
Good point. Yeah, that's
I don't really
a very
know.
Good point. That could totally be it. You know, I'm not sure if he was hoping to that all along. He decided to play just one more year and was going to go for another Super Bowl, back-to-back Super Bowls. But regardless, there's still time left in this season, and the Packers are counting on him. And, you know, he's got 7 drops by my calculations, and that's just unacceptable. So we'll have to see how he comes back. He's got a shoulder injury. He didn't go to practice. Haven't seen him.
No, I haven't seen him at all. I haven't spoken to him or heard from him in a few weeks either. You know, one of the things that I sort of wondered about with him is that I got all these questions from fans on Twitter after the post that he made about him retiring, saying, "Oh, shouldn't the Packers front office and coaches be furious because they gave him a 3-year deal or whatever it was?" And he's saying now that he wants to retire, shouldn't they feel misled? I don't buy that. I mean, if a guy wants to retire, he wants to retire. Who cares?
Yeah. And I'm not sure the Packers saw it as a 3-year deal. And don't be fooled. The club has all of the options, all of the rights. They can cut a guy, you know, tomorrow and not have to pay any of the salary in the next couple of years. So to say that, you know, it's disloyal or disingenuous or whatever you want to say from Bennett's standpoint, heck no.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
You know, management holds all the, you know, keys in this. They can do whatever they want.
Now, one thing I do potentially buy is that if he continues to underperform or at least not play as well as was expected, I think for the next few weeks, then by saying this, he sets himself up for a lot of questions about his effort if
yep.
he does not play well in the
yep.
next few weeks. Well, you said you're going to retire, so how much are you really into this? Do you even care anymore? I mean, to me, that seems like a little bit of a silly move to open yourself up to that, no?
Yeah, yeah. And then not to address it, you know, to just throw it out there and then not talk about it. So, okay, so you're, you know, a little bit of a free spirit and you say what you want and you're, you know, but, you know, when you say something like that, don't be surprised that everybody wants to know whether you meant it or not. And, yes, it is going to bring, when you're playing that poorly, at least in the passing game, people are going to question, okay, is his heart really in it?
Yeah, and, you know, when he was approached in the locker room on, what was it, Monday? No, Tuesday, he said that there's nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. As if, you know, as if he never said a word, which is kind of, I don't know, just odd to me. So we'll have to see how that plays out throughout the rest of the week, even with his shoulder injury, because not only did he not practice, but we didn't even see him, which is, you know, generally not the greatest sign when it comes to injuries. And it must have been an injury he suffered in practice on Tuesday because, you know, he was healthy coming out of the bye week.
Well, something could have happened to him in the New Orleans game.
True, true.
I don't remember him getting hurt, but who knows?
So sticking on the offense a little bit, the other piece of news that sort of floated earlier this week was a report by NFL Network that the Packers had tried to, quote-unquote, steal Brian Hoyer in the little bit of free agency that he experienced after he was released by the 49ers and then ultimately signed with the Patriots to be Tom Brady's backup. Now, let's start with just the broad question. Are you at all surprised that there's a report that the Packers kicked the tires a little bit on a veteran quarterback given their current situation?
Not one bit. Not one bit. They would be not doing themselves, you know, right if they didn't look and see. They don't know what's going to happen with Hundley. Brian Hoyer at this point is a better option than Joe Callahan.
Yes.
Even if Joe Callahan knows the offense, Brian Hoyer's been around. He's one of those guys who's played in a West Coast. He's played in Belichick's offense. He's been all over the place. He's started games. He can still play. But he's a backup, and I don't think the Packers do this all the time. They check into guys all the time. I mean, it's the smart thing to do. I don't know how close they came. I think it was preordained that he was going to go to New England. But maybe the Packers started throwing some numbers out there to see if they could fish, you know, for and get a bargain. But I don't think anyone should be surprised about that.
So when Mike McCarthy was asked about it on Thursday, he said, "I can't confirm that we had interest in him because as far as I know, I never was involved in any conversations that centered on Brian Hoyer or bringing in a veteran quarterback." And so then people are saying, well, you know, is he lying? Is he this? Is he that? And that's why I think the delineation between what goes on with the coaches and what goes on with the front office is so important, because at the end of the day, Mike McCarthy has zero say in what players get brought in here. I mean, he and Ted Thompson could completely disagree, mm-hmm. and Ted Thompson can do what he wants to do. So who's to say that McCarthy was kept in the dark and the Packers still reached out to Hoyer or his representatives or whatever? Because I'm sure that's how it played out. The front office reaches out to somebody and the coaches don't even know.
Here's how the conversation goes, I would guess. You know, Brian Hoyer and Russ Ball and Brian Hoyer's agent. You know, we want to take a look at him. You know, we might have some interest. But, you know, we're pretty close with the Patriots. Okay, so what would it take to sign him? Well, you give me a number and I'll, you know, okay.
Veteran minimum.
Yeah, right. right. You know, okay, a million with incentives, you know. No, we're not interested in that. You know, so it really, that kind of stuff goes on. And I suspect if they had reached a number that they agreed upon, then they would come to McCarthy and say, hey, can you work with Brian Hoyer? And as long as he didn't have any huge objections, I think they would have gone through with it. But I'm guessing that's how that goes. And you're right. Ted Thompson makes personnel decisions, and they're all his. And McCarthy, I think he gets some say in the quarterbacks.
Yes.
But ultimately, he can't, you know, he can't monitor all that they're doing in the personnel department. So
if Hoyer had been promised an opportunity to start here, do you think that would have changed anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he would have been brought here as a backup, not as a starter.
Yes.
And I don't think that appealed to him in any way, shape, or form.
I think his familiarity was with New England, and plus they're, you know, might win a Super Bowl. And they gave him a three-year deal. Packers probably weren't willing to give him a three-year deal. I think it was probably a long shot. Regardless, and he would have been a backup. They would not have given him the starting job.
So Hundley would have started anyway, and so let's discuss a little bit about where he stands going into this week. In terms of the bye week, he stayed in Green Bay, had some extra meetings with Mike McCarthy, and then stayed here the entire time, but you know, eventually took some time off, relaxed, said he went hunting on Jeff Janis' property and shot his first deer. So there you go.
I hope they don't call that a sporting event because, you know, I'm not anti-hunting. Don't get on me about that. But, you know, with a sporting event, you have to have two competitive teams.
It's true.
You know,
maybe you should only be able to hunt things that can kill you back.
Right.
And
exactly.
a deer can't quite, do
anyway,
that.
Anyway, now we're going to get all kinds of letters from the hunters. I do not have any objections to hunting.
Neither do I. Okay, so what areas is it reasonable to expect Hundley can improve, you know, in the course of a week of practice and 2 weeks of calendar time?
Well, I thought Jordy Nelson put it really well. Someone asked him about, does Hundley need to play faster? And, you know, McCarthy said that he did. And they said, you know, so how does he play faster? And Nelson said, it's not play speed, it's mentally diagnosing. And the speed is, okay, I see it, throw it. You know, not, I see it, is it really there? Okay, it's there, I'll throw it. So they have to get him trusting all his reads, trusting, you know, the homework he's done, and play fast like that. And so that, I think that's been the focus this week. I also think the focus will be tailoring the offense a little bit more to fit his talents. We've talked about this before. He can't run Aaron Rodgers' offense. He can't do what Aaron Rodgers does. So create an offense, you know, that has the basics but is really plays to Hundley's strength.
One of the areas that they had tremendous success against the Saints was, of course, the running game with Aaron Jones. Mm-hmm. And I would be shocked if that's not a focal point again against the Lions trying to run the football. But the Lions have a lot of speed on defense. All their linebackers can run laterally, sideline to sideline. They play pretty well. They've got a big safety that can play down in the box, Miles Killebrew, that's sort of similar to what, you know, a Josh Jones or a Morgan Burnett can do when they play in the box. I don't know if they'll be able to run on the Lions, but if they can't, how – I mean, if they couldn't have run against the Saints, just how much would that have changed? Because without it, I don't know what they would have done.
Oh, yeah, and they are. They're going to load the box up and stop Aaron Jones. They're going to dare Hundley to beat them. So you can assume that that's going to happen. And Packers are going to still have to try to run the ball. They can't give short shrift to the run game. But they can work a lot of play action and deception in the backfield, maybe expand some of the read option that they were doing and that jet sweep kind of stuff. Do that to, you know, keep the Lions at bay a little and mix it up. But ultimately, yeah, Detroit's going to be lining up and saying, go ahead, beat us down the field. We dare you.
One of the questions I wanted to ask the wide receivers yesterday, but I just didn't get a chance to do it, was I kind of thought, or I didn't think of it in time, I should say, is that I just wondered if, for the sake of oversimplification, can they still expect production on the type of deep routes that they were starting to find a little bit of rhythm with Rodgers, you know, now that they don't have him anymore? In other words, if Davante Adams has a great double move, can he still reasonably expect that Hundley is going to find him in the right spot down the field, or somebody's going to fit a ball between the corner and the safety in cover two? And I just wonder if they have to go back to just the dink and dunk that Rodgers was trying to do to get into a rhythm at the end of last year.
Well, I think the expectation is that he's going to have to hit those. I think he had Nelson possibly on that post route against New Orleans. But he just threw a bad ball. He didn't lead him. It's just one of those things where maybe he hadn't thrown that route in a while. You know, you got to throw it out there and let Nelson go and catch it, or go and catch up to it. You know, the ball to Davante Adams, he had a guy in his face, the one down the right sideline. But it more so comes down to good choices. When is a guy open when you go deep? Was Martellus Bennett open deep, you know, on that last interception? I don't know. Maybe, but the throw was terrible. So I don't know if they'll cut back on deep balls, but you have to take shots once in a while.
Yeah, it'll be something to keep an eye on in terms of, you know, if he looks more comfortable, if he's able to stay in the pocket. McCarthy talked a lot about, you know, those drop back throws and the rhythm there. Early forecast looks like it'll be clear, so he might not have to deal with any rain or, you know, something that may have bothered him there, mm-hmm. Like he did against the Saints. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. And earlier this week, you had an analysis piece that sort of looked at, you know, despite the fact that there are a handful of guys on this defense that have played pretty well, the sum of the parts is pretty unsightly right now. Mm-hmm. And sort of what did you find, and what does that say about this defense when you extrapolate it out?
Yeah, I mean, it says that there's not much chemistry. And McCarthy talks about communication. Maybe that's it. But all I know is, if you had told me that Kenny Clark was going to play as well as he did, that Blake Martinez was going to establish himself as a very good inside linebacker, and that Kevin King would pretty much hold down a starting corner spot, I would have told you that the Packers' defense was going to be a lot better. And it's not. It's every bit as bad as it's been in the past. And to me, that's on the coaches. They have to make the most of the talent. They have the talent now. And, yeah, they had some injuries against Minnesota. That was, you know, kind of a mess. But, you know, it's not like they've been devastated by injury. They've...
Yeah, you compared it to the offensive line. It's you know, apples and oranges with what the offensive line has gone through.
Right. And I think they had five guys who've missed 9 starts. That's not that bad. There's far worse going on in the NFL.
And only Rollins is out for the season.
Yeah. So how have they not, you know, they finally have Demarius Randle picking off a couple of balls, but, you know, third year he should have been locked in as a starter. And they're still not. I mean, they still rotate Josh Hawkins in there. You know, it's just, it's not been what you would expect for that team. Clay Matthews might not have the sacks, but he's still been pretty disruptive. and he's still got in the quarterback's face. He's got, you know, knocked the quarterback down. He's played decent against the run. I just, you know, Nick Perry's not played well. Mike Daniels hasn't done anything.
Kyler Fackrell's been totally invisible in terms. Well, I don't mean that to pile on. I'm just saying, for a unit that rotated as many as six guys through the outside linebackers last year, they've essentially had to go with two and a half because the third is Fackrell and the fourth is Brooks, and he's been injured the last few weeks.
Yeah. And Clinton Dix. Where is Clinton Dix? I mean, this is a Pro Bowl safety, and he's not been anywhere around. Now, you know, the return of Morgan Burnett's going to help him quite a bit. Maybe now he can just play and not. But that's another bad decision they made. How did they not figure out that Clinton Dix was not going to do well with a radio helmet? I mean, after one game, they should have figured that out.
Especially because their third choice is Blake Martinez, and he wore it for the first half of last season, and it wasn't like he was – I mean, he didn't play great because he was a rookie, but it's not like he was – it's not like they had all these procedural penalties and issues with substitutions.
And you know what? Honest to God, I think they would have been better off giving it to Kentrell Bryce. I think Kentrell Bryce knows the defense better than any of the safeties other than Morgan Burnett.
Or just give it back to Matthews.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably one of the smartest guys on the defense. He's played longer. I mean, yeah, he's an edge rusher, so he's not in the middle of the defense, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think Martinez or Bryce could have done it, and I don't think you want your best players with it. You know, I think that's why Matthews, maybe not.
Okay.
Clinton Dix, you don't want doing it. Burnett can do it because he's been around so long, and it's just something he does well. So, anyway.
So, yeah, McCarthy basically said on Thursday that Burnett will wear the helmet this weekend, which obviously means that Burnett will play. He's missed the last two games and then a little bit of the third game against Dallas when he dropped out with a hamstring injury.
That will help them. But look, they need to hold teams to like 19, 20 points to win.
And I don't see them doing that
against
Detroit.
And I don't know that they can do that.
No.
They're going to have to create turnovers. I mean, they've got a decent amount, not a ton. And they have to keep teams from scoring in the red zone. They're terrible in the red zone. I think they're 30th. In the NFL in
Which
red zone.
Detroit should be licking its lips after they were absolutely horrendous against the Steelers in the red zone on Sunday night.
Oh, my God, was that bad. And the defense can't and will not be bailed out by Aaron Rodgers anymore. So it's on them to figure it out.
Packers are ninth worst in the league. Well, tied for ninth worst in the league in third down conversions allowed. 42% of the time, teams are converting on third down. And on fourth down, teams are 6 of 7.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, they're one of the worst teams. They might be the worst. Yeah, they're 32nd on fourth down. And their sack percentage is terrible. They rank, it's in my story. Look it up if you get a chance. But, you know, they're like in the 20s. 24 or something like that. So they're not getting enough pressure on the quarterback.
And I feel like at least once a game lately, we've seen an opposing team convert like a 3rd and 12, 3rd and 14, 3rd and some play where they blew up a running player. There was a false start, and they got them behind the chains, and then it doesn't matter because they just pick it up.
I mean, if there's one redeeming quality, it's that they haven't given up a ton of huge plays. You know, they've given up, I think, two, maybe three 40-yard plays, something like that, and 40-plus yards. You have it right there, don't you?
Not on this page. Keep talking.
Anyway, okay. So it hasn't been like it's been in the past where they've just been gutted by big plays, but they have to be better on third down, and especially third and long. That's been embarrassing. You know, it was particularly embarrassing against New Orleans, who just kept throwing screen passes.
Three plays of 40-plus yards. The worst in the league is the Colts with 9, and the best in the league are the Titans and Falcons with 1.
Yeah, so they're not terrible with 40-plus yard passes.
No, they're not.
That's not been the problem. The problem's probably been more 20-yard passes.
So I guess one potential boost that they could receive Monday night would be if Vince Beagle, the former Badger fourth-round pick, gets on the field. He's returned to practice. McCarthy didn't really tip his hat one way or the other about whether Beagle would play. You listened to a little bit of Beagle's interview on Thursday. Did he, you know, give any sort of an indication of whether or not he's going to be on the field against Detroit?
He asked us to talk to Ted Thompson about that, which was the smart answer on his part, because I'm sure they're readying him to play. Now, they're going to figure out who's up and who's down and whether there's a spot for him. I'm assuming that he's physically ready to play. And what I would expect if he plays is he plays 10 snaps on defense and every snap on special team. Not every snap, but a good portion of special team snaps.
Yeah, your punt return, your punt cover, your kick return, your kick cover. He should be good on all of those.
Yeah. And, you know, he's going to be the guy out there with fresh legs. And it's special teams is also a good way to get used to the speed of the game and also contact. So I would suspect that if he plays, he'll be mostly on special teams.
And I think the last thing we want to touch on is sort of in the trenches, there's going to be a little interesting matchup between one TJ Lang, former Packer, who signed a nice, juicy contract with the Lions as a free agent. And then Mike Daniels, Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, they're going to have a tough time going up against TJ Lang, who Mike McCarthy said that the coaches and the personnel department here in Green Bay said that Lang has been playing the best of any Lions lineman based on the tape they've watched this season, which if that wasn't a reason to keep him, I don't know what was.
Yeah, really. I mean, why didn't they keep him then? I have a feeling it was a Ted Thompson decision. I don't think the coaches were necessarily on board with that. Thompson has pulled a rabbit out of his hat with Jari Evans.
Yes, he has.
He's not great. He's given up some pressures, but man, he plays every snap. He's there every snap.
Healthy every week.
Solid. Yep. He's played next to I don't know how many right tackles. And he's been really solid. So, you know, he gets credit for that, but you know, the whole thing could have been solved with TJ Lang. But there's only so much money you can give offensive linemen. Are you going to sign? If you sign Lang, can you sign Lindsley? You know, I don't know. You have a lot of money tied up in Bulaga and Bakhtiari and now Lane Taylor, too. So can you afford Lang and then Corey Lindsley? So,
based on all the reps that you saw in camp over the years, do you think that there's any guy on this Packers defense that can have consistent success against Lang?
I'm trying to remember some of those one-on-ones, you know. I don't remember anybody having great success against him. Like, it seems like every guy has one guy who's sort of the thorn in their side.
Yeah.
But
like this year, wasn't it Don Barclay and Mike Daniels? Daniels couldn't beat Barclay.
No, it was Lane Taylor.
Oh, Lane Taylor. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
yeah. Right. Daniels just could not once beat him. It was fun to watch. I think Lang against Daniels is something we're going to see quite a bit.
I would give the edge to Lang. I think that he's the type. I mean, not that Mike Daniels doesn't have a fiery personality, but Lang is the type to want to be really slighted by not being here. And if there's anybody that's going to come out with, you know, smoke coming out of their ears, TJ Lang strikes me as that kind of guy.
Well, I think there's two other guys, Don Barclay and Jared Aberderis. Fire in their eyes. Don Barclay would want to just destroy the Packers. I don't think he's going to play.
I don't think he's going to play.
Jared Aberderis is going to play.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And could you see him making the game-winning catch over Vince Beagle? How about that?
That would just be
10
seconds
something. To go.
I think fans would actually hate it worse if it was over Demaryius Randle.
No, oh, that's probably true. Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to keep an eye on the TJ Lang situation on Monday night, because I can tell that's going to be a good one. Did he have anything interesting to say on the teleconference Thursday?
He was his typical self. He's the first guy I've ever heard on that teleconference that goes, "That's all the questions you guys got? Don't you got some more? I can stick around."
Usually it's like pulling teeth with some of these opposing players.
Oh, it is.
And
it's like, "I got a meeting, bye." He just talked a lot about he talked a little bit about the circumstances with him leaving. That, you know, he also recognized what I just said, was that they have to replace or re-sign Lindsley.
So he was fairly diplomatic.
He was diplomatic. He wasn't going to go after anybody.
God, wouldn't it have been great if he just MF'd Ted Thompson for 5 minutes on the line?
It, you know, it happens once in a while, but no, T.J. Lang's been around too long to do that.
You don't have any really good conference call stories where guys just go nuts?
Went off. I'll have to think about that. There have been some where guys have like hung up and stuff like that, but I don't recall any where a guy just, you know, screw you guys or I'm going to kill everybody on that offensive line. No, I don't remember anything like that.
Well, do you have anything else we should squeeze in here, because we're going to be back again with another podcast tomorrow?
Yeah, no, we'll talk about Kyrie Thornton tomorrow.
Yes, another former Packer. So we'll have Kyrie Thornton tomorrow in our usual breakdown of the matchups leading into Monday night's game. But you guys have what you wanted, another podcast. I got lots of tweets saying, "Where's the podcast?"
Oh, good.
I got an email to my personal email address. I don't know how this person got my personal email address, saying that he loves our podcast and he's going through withdrawal, and can we please come back soon?
Jeez. Buddy, get a life. You're waiting for us.
But keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening, but get a life on the other, you know, in the meantime.
All right, so thank you guys, as always, for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.